I got to say, I love teaching the Freedom Course. We start next Sunday. And so if you have not had the opportunity to do this great class yet, I want to encourage you to be a part of that. Really excited right now. Our staff just spent the weekend doing our annual staff prayer retreat. We had such an amazing time of praying for the church, praying for each other, and just dreaming and sharing vision about the coming year. And I got to tell you, I'm so proud of our staff because they are so committed to our church family. And we are really looking forward to this fall going into next year. We believe God is going to do some amazing, amazing things. Well, this morning, we are wrapping up our series in the book of Proverbs called Better Decisions, Fewer Regrets. So this is the last one that we're going to be in this series. And so we're going to start at Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 22. It will be up on the screen, Proverbs 18, 22, where it says this, "He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord." Can you say amen to that? Yeah. And then Proverbs 5:18. "May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth." Okay? And now let's just spice it up a little here. Proverbs 5:19. "A loving doe, a graceful deer, may her breast satisfy you always. May you ever be intoxicated by her love." Yeah, that's in the Bible. It's right there. Proverbs 31:10 says, "A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies." And then finally, Proverbs 31:30. "Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." And so today we're going to be talking about, not just to husbands, but to wives as well, we're going to be talking about cherishing your spouse. Cherishing your spouse. Now, why did I choose to use this word, cherish, this morning? Because it's not a word that we use a lot, but for most of us, it was actually part of our wedding vows. Most of us included in our wedding vows the words to love and to cherish. We talk about the love part a lot, but we don't often talk about what it means to cherish our spouse. And so I want to just bring a little definition. What are we talking about when we use this word cherish? In his book titled Cherish, Gary Thomas describes the word cherish this way. "To cherish something is to hold it dear. That means to think about it, and when you do, you feel great pleasure. You have great affection for it." And then he also writes, "Cherish means to go out of our way to notice someone, appreciate someone, honor someone, and hold someone dear." So that's a pretty good definition of what we're talking about today. Now, before I move forward, I want to invite an expert to the platform, someone who knows a lot more about this subject than me, and that's my wife, Janice. Would you welcome Janice as she comes this morning? And so today we're going to do a little team teaching. You want to just stand up? Okay. Janice wants to stand up. That is great. By the way, you look amazing today.
Well, I had some extra time. I forgot that we started at 9 today.
I know you did. I know you did.
I had to tell you. I was
even though
driving
we
up
talked
the hill,
about it just this morning.
Just this morning.
Yes.
I know.
Yes.
I was like, oh my goodness. Anyway.
So Janice and I, we've been married for over 38 years now. And Janice, the first thing these people are going to want to know is how you managed to put up with me all these years.
I think that will be another.
Okay. So, like all marriages, right, our marriage hasn't been perfect over the years. And right up front, we just want to say that we're not doing life by comparison. We're not comparing our marriage to anybody else's marriage today. And we're certainly not standing before you as a couple that thinks, you know, that we somehow have some kind of magical, perfect, wet marriage. Believe it or not, being a pastor doesn't automatically make you Prince Charming. Just doesn't. And in fact, there are pressures that come along with being in the fishbowl of being in ministry that add actually a little extra stress on marriages. And so the last thing we want to do today is make anybody feel like we're coming across as being superior or anything like that. We're all in this thing together. Amen? And so while we've had, I would say, a very good marriage, like every marriage, it's had ups and downs, more ups than downs. Thank the Lord for that. But we've had things like any couple that we've had to work through. And so so I want to start off this morning by asking Janice to just talk about, like, in our looking back at our, you know, 38 years together, what were some of the foundations that really we built from the very beginning that helped carry us through the harder times in our relationship?
Good. Good morning. So as I was thinking about this, I mean, the foundation of all foundations for Tim and I was that from the very time we first met, we knew that we were committed to Jesus Christ and His Word. And so just from the get-go, we had that in common. I was raised in a Christian home. I was raised going to church. Tim had a different story. I think most of you know it. But he had made the decision, too, that no matter what, he was going to serve the Lord. And so from the first day of our marriage, we said, hey, let's do it God's way. And that doesn't make it easy. It just means you have the Lord to help you through the hard times, right? And the foundation of His Word. And I was thinking about the verse, and, you know, this is one that I learned in Sunday school. It's from Matthew 7. It says, anyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man or a wise woman who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the kids were little, and the dishes were piling up, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And so that's the foundation for any good marriage is, and I know that might sound a little cliche, but it is true. And I, this morning as we were just singing and thinking about our message today, I was just thinking, Lord, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that as we did commit our ways to you, that you have been faithful. We could have been another statistic, whatever. But because of God's help and because of our commitment to Him, we have what I think is an awesome marriage. It's better. It's better than the day we started out, that's for sure. It's gotten better with age. So I'm just so thankful to God.
And I just also want to insert at this point, if you happen to be married to somebody who's not a believer yet, that doesn't mean you can't have a good marriage.
Right.
You can still, God still wants to bless your marriage, and He wants you to have a very good marriage. In fact, God wants to use you to bring your spouse to Him.
Yes.
Right? And so I don't want anybody, as we're talking about the importance of having a foundation of Christ, for sure, if you don't share that, I don't want you to feel like, well, there's no hope for your marriage, because God is still on your side.
Yes.
Right? And so, yeah, that was like number one foundation for us.
Yes.
For sure.
And just another little PS along that line, too, is that maybe you have a story that includes some regrets and things that you wish you could go back and do over. That's what is so amazing about following the Lord, is that He is always a God of new beginnings.
Yeah.
And fresh starts. And even if you find yourself in a place that you thought you never would be, God loves you, and He knows your story, and He knows your heart, and He has good things ahead for you. I remember many times in our marriage where I had to go into the bedroom and just say, Lord, I need some help. I'm not sure what to do. I don't know what to say. I'm not sure how to be the wife that Tim needs me to be. And you know something? God helped me. It wasn't necessarily instantaneous, but God knows our hearts, and so He's faithful to help us in those areas.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Another foundation that we had early on was that we established and we were intentional about having date nights. Now, they weren't always at night, right? I mean, sometimes it was in the middle of the day, taking a walk or just doing something together. And especially when the kids are small or you're in ministry and the calendar fills up, and before you know it, we haven't had time together. So it really is something that we've had to be intentional about and making sure that other things didn't crowd out the calendar. And I know that there's seasons, and we all know, we all recognize that. And there are seasons of just plain old busyness and that it's hard. But you have that night circled on the calendar, no matter what, we're going to hang out together and we're going to enjoy being a husband and wife and being friends and doing something fun together.
Yeah.
So that's been, I think, another...
From the beginning, we established that.
Yes.
We weren't perfect at it, but we were pretty consistent.
Tried to be.
Yeah. Yes. And now, the cool thing is when your kids move out, every day is date night. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little easier. Okay, and then the third foundation that I thought of is that you value and appreciate what makes our relationship unique and special, your relationship unique and special. Because we all have a different story. And like for Tim and I, we had some unique situations going on, but I could either compare, which will kill your marriage if you compare, or I could say, hey, yeah, our story's a little different. It's unique. It's special. But to celebrate it and to look for those things that help us complement each other. Yeah. And we actually, I don't know if you, the birth order book, you might want to read it. You might not. Because we read it. And guess what? We're both firstborn. And so we like to boss each other around. So.
Yes. We still do.
But it's okay. You know, we have learned and you find that balance and you appreciate what you each bring to the relationship. And I think that is a foundation to look for those things that complement and make your relationship unique and special.
Yeah. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. I have one more.
All right.
I didn't write it down.
Okay.
So, but here, this is, I think, one of the most important ones. Is to have the foundation that you extend grace and forgiveness to each other. Yeah. Amen? Otherwise, you're going to get bitter. Well, first of all, you're going to be disappointed in each other. You're going to get bitter. You're going to build up walls, and it's no fun. And so if you have grace with each other and then forgive, 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 forgive. Somebody gave us a plaque when we got married from 1 Corinthians 13. And one of the ones that we've had to both say, I won't just say to him, but, you know, love keeps no record of wrong. And that is a foundational key to moving forward with joy and satisfaction, is to keep no record of wrong. Yeah. Once they have repented, then you forgive and you move on.
Yeah.
And it's good.
And sometimes even before they repent.
Sometimes.
You forgive. You see what I'm talking about here? So now we want to talk a little bit about how do you, you know, once you have a foundation, how do you continue to grow as a couple into the future and not, you know, take your marriage for granted? And so the first thing that I think of is this, is if you want your marriage to keep on growing, you need to keep on growing as a person. Right? Like, you need to make sure that you're continuing to grow spiritually in your relationship with God, that you're growing emotionally, and that you're that physically you're keeping yourself healthy, and that you're growing as an individual, because and we all, you know, in marriage, one of the cool things is there are times on the other person, right? And that's one of the joys of marriage. At the same time, if one person is always leaning on the other person and always dependent on the other person, then that person's going to wear out. Yeah. That's the truth. They're just going to get weary of carrying you. Listen, your spouse is an amazing person, hopefully, but they're not Jesus, right? And they can't do for you what only the Lord can do for you.
Yeah.
And so one of the keys, I think, to longevity in marriage is to think about your own personal growth, continuing to grow. One of the things that Janice and I both enjoy doing and helps us is we're always reading books about personal growth, and we're being challenged by what we're reading, and we're talking about those things. Another thing that's helped us over the years is that we have a freedom to talk to each other about things. So if there's something going on, if I'm reacting the wrong way to something, or Janice sees a bad pattern developing in my behavior, my words, or my attitude, she knows she can talk to me about that. And so we've got that freedom. And I think that's just huge in helping you to keep on growing individually. And so for the guys out there, I would encourage you to be a part of a men's life group. Ladies, get involved in women's Bible study. Do things that are going to nurture your own life so that you can be, you know, strong and healthy as an individual.
That's good. That's good. Okay, another one is to speak words of life. And this applies to everyone, regardless of your age. Proverbs 18:21 says, "The tongue has the power of life and death." And, you know, it's always easy to go this way and go down the negative, right? It's always easy to look at the faults and what's not right or what you wish
especially
was different.
Especially the last 2 years.
Yes.
There's been, I think, so much extra pressure put on marriages. And I don't know about you, but I did more complaining than was probably healthy for me in the last couple of years. And so, you know, with the Lord's help to turn that around and start speaking words of faith and hope and thankfulness.
It makes such a difference. How many of you have found that to be true?
Yeah.
Just saying something positive, something that you're grateful for and thankful for. And how much, what a difference it makes when we speak words of life to our spouse. I'm going to just give you three things that over the years I have found that Tim, he really needs to hear these things from me. And number one, of course, is I love you. I love you. I do love you. I cherish you. I love him more than anyone in the world. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of the way you work hard, and I'm proud of how you joined CrossFit. I'm so proud of you. You look amazing. I'm serious. And I appreciate you. So I love you. I'm proud of you. I appreciate you. And be specific. All of us can think of specific things that we appreciate about our spouse. And I would just a little thing. We're saying a lot of different things this morning. If you just take that home with you. Just this week, Lord, help me to point out every day something positive about my spouse to him, to her, whoever.
Yeah.
And to build them up and to speak those words of life over them.
Yeah.
And what do you think the guys, what
well,
should they say?
Three things I believe your wife needs to hear is, I love you, I will never stop loving you, and you are beautiful. You know, for women, there's just so much comparison out there, and they can feel very, like they don't measure up in terms of their beauty and their appearance. And so guys, you need to remind your wife all the time that she is a babe to you. Right? And that you find her beautiful and attractive. So, I love you. I'll never stop loving you. And you're beautiful.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Sure. Number three.
Yes.
Number three, and we touched on this a little bit already, but be open about your differences and celebrate them. Okay? So, in a lot of ways, Janice and I, we're very different from each other. Now, the main things I'm going to say, we really share in common. We share Jesus in common. We have, from the very beginning of our marriage, we had common values and common goals and a common vision for our future and our family. So having those things in common were huge for us. But then in a lot of ways, we're very different from one another. We have very different personalities. I am way more of an introvert. Janice is more of an extrovert.
Sometimes.
Yes. The birth order thing is very real. We're both the oldest, and so we were both used to not having someone else tell us what to do when we got married. And we grew up in very different homes. Janice grew up in the Cleaver family. I grew up in not the Cleaver family. And yes, if you're old enough to remember Leave It to Beaver, you understand that reference. So you can either let those differences pull you apart, or you can let those differences bring you together, and you can appreciate your spouse and how they complement your life. And honestly, looking back on it now and seeing what God was doing, God knew exactly who I needed to be married to. That Janice was the person for me. God knew what I needed. And then also, we just found in parenting our kids that our children needed both of us. They really did. And how we kind of balanced each other out with our children, and we believe that really blessed our kids, that we were complementary in our parenting. So, yeah.
I think they're watching. So, hi, Elizabeth, Elias, and Ezra. I told them to watch.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so yes, we did have differences, but I just thank God that God gave me Tim, because he needed me, but I needed him, that's for sure. And I'm so grateful that God did bring us together. So, number four is, and we kind of touched on this too, but pour on the appreciation. And don't take your spouse for granted. And I know that I think I've gotten better at this over the years, but I think early on when life was pretty hectic with three kids and working and trying to keep everything, all the balls in the air and whatever, that you kind of got into a little comparison mode, like, well, I did this today and this, and my list went on. And then, Tim, well, I got some studying done this morning. I said, you got to read a book? You got to study, you got to pray, you know, and it was kind of like a comparison game, and it was hard for me sometimes to express those words of appreciation, because I was a little, I was comparing my day with his, and mine didn't look as good as his. But as the years have gone on, learning to appreciate your spouse and just pour on the appreciation, make it heartfelt and specific. And I try to do that, and that's something I can always work at, is when he comes home or he's been gone or something, say, man, I really missed you, and I appreciate how you work hard to provide for our family and for our home and whatever it might be, whatever fits your story, but pour on those words of appreciation. And I had a conversation with a young wife this last week, and I just encouraged her before she had maybe a more of a challenging conversation, just to preface it with, you know, I know we're in this together, we're a team, and I appreciate what you're doing for our family. And then if you need to share some other thoughts, go ahead, but to have it grounded in, yeah, first of all, that we're in this together, we're a team, we're not against each other, and I appreciate what you're doing, yeah, to make this marriage work.
Yeah,
so
good. Okay, number five. Number five is play together. Find things that you enjoy doing with one another. And again, this is one of those things, when Janice and I first got married, we didn't have much in common as far as what we enjoyed doing together. One of the early frustrations in our marriage for Janice was my love for watching football on TV.
I grew up in a family with three girls.
Yes. In my home, Sunday afternoon was, you know, you got your lunch and then you ate it in front of the TV. Now, while you were watching football. And perhaps you do that, so I'm not judging anybody who does do that. I'm just saying Janice did not do that. So the first time I did that, she's sitting at the kitchen table. I go into the living room, I'm watching football, and she is just sitting at the table just fuming. She was not happy with me. And then I laugh at it now, but early on, one of Janice's sayings she would use is, I'd be watching a football game, and she would come in and say, are you going to watch that entire game? And be like, no, I only really was going to watch just part of the game. And yeah, I was thinking of watching it to the end.
It just seems so long.
And so it took us a little while. One of the early things that we did enjoy doing together was playing tennis. But we learned early on that my approach to tennis and hers were totally different. My idea in tennis was, you hit the ball away from the person and that's a good shot, because you're trying to score a point. And she would say, why are you hitting it over there? Hit it to me. I'd say, that's not the point. Right? Because I was in it for the competition. She just wanted to have fun as a couple. And I couldn't get my head around that. And but one of the things that we have enjoyed together for sure is the outdoors. And we love, most Saturdays, you're going to find us probably, or Sunday afternoon, you're going to find us on a hike together or riding bikes together. Those are two things that we love doing with one another.
And something, yes, that's really helped our marriage lately,
yes,
is because he loves to ride fast on his road bike, get an e-bike. It's great. You can keep up with them.
Yes. No problem. It's been huge.
It's been a real lifesaver.
I bought Janice an electric bike for her 60th birthday. And now I can go as fast as I want. Yes. And she's not 2 miles behind me. It's awesome. Yes. And then our newest hobby.
Yes.
That Janice got us started doing is pickleball. Yes, it's the craze of the United States right now, so we're playing that.
Yeah. And you are supposed to hit the ball to the person.
Yes, and I hit it to you.
You do. I know. We have really improved.
I've learned.
And it shows. Yes, it's good. So, yes, we love to have fun together, and it's and we actually, like, I would choose to do something with Tim over anyone else. We just have a good time. Yeah. I do not golf. I do not golf, so that's his time.
And I like it that way.
And I bless him. That's good. That's good. Okay, and the last one, hopefully this is a fun one to end on, is just to enjoy the journey. And as we all know, life is full of seasons, and some seasons you just think, how am I ever going to make it through this one? But it passes, doesn't it? Our kids grow up, they leave the house, you get blessed hopefully with some grandkids, it's wonderful. But enjoy the journey, and treasure the gift of today. Yeah. And we don't know what tomorrow holds. I think our best days are still ahead. But I have great memories and of the times when I was a young mom with the kids at home. And I had to remind myself then to treasure every day, because some of those days were a little bit harder. But to enjoy just what God has given you today, and to be grateful for each other. And not to compare, not to look around, but to look right next to you.
Yeah.
We're in this together, right?
Yeah.
There's a song that we kind of like. It's by Huey Lewis, and the title is Happy to Be Stuck With You. And I'm happy to be stuck with you. It's good. So enjoy what God has given you and the gifts that he's placed in your life. And God wants the best for us, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I know early on in our marriage, it kind of just a light bulb moment came on, because we were kind of maybe doing more bickering than really appreciating each other. I thought, you know, this is taking up a lot of energy. I'm kind of exhausted after these different discussions. I would rather put my energy into making this a great marriage. I don't want to just have it be average or just stick together and make it through to the end. I want to have a great marriage.
Yeah.
And so to turn that energy that maybe you've been putting in some other areas of comparing, complaining, not being grateful, and put that energy into being thankful for what God's given you.
Yeah.
And to ask God's the giver of every good gift, right? Lord, I need your help. I need to know how to be a good wife, to love my husband the way that he needs to be loved, and to have the kind of marriage that you, I know, have planned for us. And God's faithful, and he'll answer that prayer because he wants that. We're praying God's will when we ask that. So
yeah.
I would love Bethel to be a place where, hey, man, that's the place. Those marriages are great up on the hill. We got some awesome examples of what it means to be Christ followers and to put Christ first in our marriages.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So we're going to do that this morning. We're going to pray.
Yes.
And we want God to bless your relationship. Can we have everybody stand together, please? And Janice and I are just privileged to be your pastor, and we want to bless you today. We want to pray over your marriages. So if you're by your spouse, make sure you get close to them right now. I want to read passage that Janice alluded to earlier, 1 Corinthians 13. And these are the kind of things we want to pray over you today. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. So would you, if you haven't already done so, join hands with your spouse or put an arm around them, and we want to pray over you right now. And Janice, why don't you go ahead and pray first?
Lord, we thank you for each couple that's represented in this room tonight, today. And God, I thank you that you are the creator of love. God, that you are love. And God, you have good gifts to give to each one of us. And Lord, I pray, God, that when the enemy would want to come in and bring division and confusion and discouragement, Lord. God, that we will just stand against that and just stand on your word, God, that you want to bless our homes. You want to bless our marriages. God, you want us to be a reflection of you and the love that you have for us, God, yes, to our spouse. And Lord, so I do just pray a blessing over each marriage, yes, today. God, thank you for your faithfulness in our marriage. Thank, yes, you, God, that you have been our rock. God, when the storms did come and things did happen in our home and in our situations and different things, God, that you have been a firm, solid, true foundation for us, God. And Lord, we also want to pray for our children. God, I know some of us have children that are married, and maybe they need us to stand in the gap for them too. And we just pray for our children and their marriages and their homes, God, that they will be just a generational blessing, God, of lives and marriages that are built on you. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Let me speak a blessing over you now. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. All right, hold on for just a second. Pastor BJ is coming up to tell us a couple of things before we close.